Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report, where we think Colby Wellman would be a lottery pick if he played against Purdue every game. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, iSportsWeb contributor Ryan McCumber joins me as we recap the Big Ten tournament. Later on this week, we are going to start previewing some of the potential matchups for the Spartans. And we have former Western Michigan point guard, guy who played in tournament, good friend of mine, Jeremy File, coming on tomorrow as we're going to take a look at the full-scale picture of the tournament. Ryan, it's finally here, man, the one time a year where you can guarantee that my blood pressure is going through the roof right now. It would be a bad time for me to take a stress test. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm feeling the same way. I've been looking at my bracket, wondering what I'm going to do, and oh my gosh, like, man, it's wide open this year. It's that time of year, man. It's here.
Well, I was looking at it, and like I said, we're more or less going to recap the Big Ten tournament this weekend, or that took place this past weekend. But I was counting it down. You could look at top five seeds in any region, and they can take it. And then you can throw a couple more sprinkled around here and there. I think the one exception, I'm not sold on Xavier. But, I mean, it is what it is. Everything else, though, I think is fair game. Let's get your impressions, though. Let's go back to the Big Ten tournament. Ryan, this weekend, what do you think of Michigan State?
They didn't play their best, I thought, in the last two games. I think they needed a close game, though, because they hadn't had one in, like 7 or 8 games. Those were two pretty good teams they played in those last two games, and they didn't play well, and they still beat them. So I think that says a lot about Michigan State and how good of a team they really are. That's to beat Purdue and Maryland especially when you don't have great games from Costello and Forbes, both of them, is really impressive, and I think that really bodes well for them in the tournament.
I mean, you can say what you want about Maryland being a 5 seed and Purdue being a 5 seed. It's almost like a conspiracy theory or whatever. Like, you think the committee's doing it just because of that 12-5 matchup, especially when you consider the fact MSU is only a 2 seed. Iowa, their entire body of work, I feel, merits a little bit more than a 7 seed. So I think that, actually, is like you talked about, how good of a team Maryland actually is. Although Maryland has they've kind of taken the Iowa route a little bit. They've kind of fallen off as of late. But I think you're exactly right. They needed close games. They got it with Maryland. They got it with Purdue. And you're not going to get much closer than that, I think. Purdue is a team that matches up very well with Michigan State, and I think Michigan State matches up very well with Purdue. And so it's always going to be a good game. I mean, you saw that at Mackey Arena, which was Michigan State's most recent close game until the Big Ten tournament took place. But they needed that experience. They haven't had it in a little while. And they did it against teams that they can take advantage of matchups. Jake Lane, he's what, 6'9", can step outside and shoot very easily. One of the most efficient shooters in the Big Ten. And Melo Trimble is just a matchup nightmare for everybody. He's not really played his best basketball as of late. And then Purdue, you've got the West Lafayette skyline suiting up for them between Swanigan, Haas, and Hammond. That's a tough matchup for anybody. And so I think to not only play in close games, but playing against teams that don't match a typical Big Ten team, rather. I mean, you can get teams like Northwestern and Michigan that like to shoot outside all day and don't have a lot in the paint. But they don't match what Michigan State or Wisconsin has, which is standard Big Ten basketball roster. And so I think it gets them very prepared for the tournament.
I 100% agree with you, Tyler. You know, they, like we said, they needed close games. They got them. You know, that's not an easy matchup. And, you know, they didn't, especially when you've got the three bigs you mentioned, Haas, Hammonds, and Swanigan down low for Purdue. And Michigan State, like I said, did not have a good game for Matt Costello. He came up big, you know, late in the game, but he didn't play well. I don't think Deontay Davis had a great game. I thought he played okay defensively. And Gavin Schilling, of course, missed a bunch of bunnies. And Kobe Waldman was really the only big man who had a pretty good game. And Michigan State still pulled it out against a Purdue team with three really quality bigs. And that's just really impressive for Michigan State to do. And they didn't do it with a great shooting day by any means either.
And the thing about Colby is he just seems to play well against Purdue. You can go back to my open, like, this guy would be a lottery pick based on his defense against those Purdue bigs. He did it last year during senior day for Brandon Dawson and Travis Trice. Dawson went out, they had to play Wallenman a little bit more, and he played his butt off. Like, he was absolutely fantastic in both showings against Purdue yesterday. Here's his numbers here. 4 points. What more could you want for a guy who played 12 minutes, who's, for all intents and purposes, he's a walk-on.
Oh, yeah.
He's a walk-on.
You're right. That's the guy that Purdue, I said, during the game, I was like, oh, my gosh, Wallman's going to get destroyed by these Purdue bigs. And no, he had a great game. It was really impressive. He only played 12 minutes, but when he was on the floor for those 12 minutes, he was very effective. You know, he had 5 rebounds, I thought he played good defense, especially on Swanigan. I thought he did a good job. Like you said, he's had a pass of playing well against Purdue. He did it for senior day last year. I was very impressed by Wallman. I mean, that's just a bonus if you're getting good minutes from him. He doesn't play that much. But if you're getting good minutes from him, you should win most games you play. So that means that, you're getting contributions from guys you didn't expect to get contributions from.
Yeah, and there was a social media blow up regarding Lou Rawls there taking. I mean, he had to take a shot because the shot clock was expiring, but he had an open look with about 4 seconds left and was just trying to look for something more accurate, which is something he probably shouldn't have done. He needs to step up and he needs to take that shot. And so you had a social media explosion, just people going off on Nairn, but You take away that one mental lapse, and he played well against Purdue. So you have Nairn playing well. You have Clark playing well for a guy who's as undersized as he is. He did end up fouling out, but I thought a couple of them were rather cheap fouls, nickel and dime type situations. And so they are getting these contributions elsewhere, which is big when you look at Bryn Forbes, who – what did he shoot? I think it was 7 of, turned for Ohio State, for Purdue, and for Maryland. He was just 7 of 22 from the field.
Yep.
And so I think
get
those contributions from those other guys. It's huge.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, Bryn Forbes didn't have a good tournament. I said it before. He was cold, and they need him to get going, obviously. They're going to need him probably once you get to the Sweet 16, assuming they get there.
If anything, they might need him for the second round. Because
yeah, that's true.
The best way to beat the zone defense, which Syracuse runs, is Michigan State ends
right,
up matched
absolutely
up against that 2-3 zone. They need a shooter.
Yep, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think Syracuse should have gotten in the tournament, but that's a different story. I agree with you. Probably need him in the second round. Michigan State didn't play their best game. They pulled in their last two games. They pulled both of them out. Didn't get much contributions from Forbes and Costello, two of their key players, still found a way to win. I mean, Denzel Valentine was lights out again, almost had a triple-double yesterday, you know, 10-9. And this is a team that, you know, I think this is one of Tom Izzo's best teams he's had. I really believe that. We'll see if it's up there with the 2000 team. I think it has the potential to be remembered in that realm.
Yeah, I think top to bottom, I don't think this team matches up with 2000. But then again, I was in high school then, and so that's the team that I grew up watching. That was my team that I most related to. You know, Mateen Cleave, like a personal hero of mine. So I think that I might be a little bit biased there, but at the same time, I feel like the players who are in their own roles, like you look at a guy like Marvin Clark, who's played fantastic in his role, by the way, but there are other guys like Aaron Harris and Deontay Davis who haven't quite seemed to have found their fit yet, and let's face it, we're at the end of the season right now, is the ultimate difference between those two teams. But, I mean, if Michigan State goes out this year and they win the national championship, the comparisons are going to be made. The talk is going to be up there. Is this team up there with the 2000 team? And with given the fact that if this team does end up winning, they'll be the third team to win national championship? Absolutely. They'll deserve everything that they get. Until then, I still want to see that consistent play from those role players.
Until I
see that, I'm going to hold my breath as far as taking that leap of faith, if you will.
I 100% agree with you on that, with the role players. Like I said, I don't think they're comparable right now. They won the national title, yes. They are comparable, in my opinion.
The teams,
know,
not how the role players fit.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. And I think we need to talk about Elvin Ellis, about how well he played. He has been really, really good since the first Maryland game. He's contributed well on defense. He shot the ball well when they need him to. I've been very, very impressed by how Elvin Ellis played, and a lot of us thought he might be transferring a couple months ago. He deserves a lot of credit from his play and how he's helped this team.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I would say, I mean, he's not really a threat to score. He can, but he's not a threat that you game plan for. You do kind of game plan, though, for someone as athletic as Harrison. That's why this Michigan State team's the most offensively dominant team that Tom Izzo's ever had. You have good post play with Costello. You can get it from Davis. You get guys like Ellis and Clark, who play in the roles. Then you have Forbes, who's the best three-point shooter in the country. You have Valentine, who's the best playmaker, I would say, since Mateen Cleaves. I'll go that far. More than Neitzel, I think, more than Lucas. And then you have Aaron Harris, who's athleticism you need to plan for, because he can shoot the threes, and if he gets going, he's a very dangerous player. And I think you could make a case that if Harris wasn't this threat once he gets going, Elvin Ellis could easily start for this team. I'll go that far.
I agree.
Because I think Ellis offers a little bit more defensively.
Yes, I was just about to say that. I think that he's been an absolutely lights-out defender when he's been on the floor. I used to cringe a couple months ago when he would come on the floor, but, oh, my gosh, he's just been lights-out defensively once he gets in. He's someone who I think if you face a good shooting team on the perimeter, I think that that's somebody that you can give a lot of minutes to, and he can defensively lock down on someone. I really believe that.
Yeah. Huh. I'm right there with you. Like I said, I think he's as good as Aaron Harris. I think people don't know it because Aaron Harris can give you that extra spark that Alvin Ellis, I mean, I don't think we've seen it since the Indiana game last year where he went off for, what, 17, 19 points. And so I think Harris gives you that extra spark, and I think that's why he's going to continue to play. Plus, Ellis gives you a little bit more on defense. And so I think he is, when you look at not necessarily what these guys are capable of. Like I said, Harris has a big, has a just gigantic ceiling. But I think when you look at Ellis' consistency, he's just as good as Aaron Harris is. But I want to talk about something that was said after the Maryland game, listening to the post game on Spartan Sports Network. Matt Costello, as candid as ever, we suck on offense right now. What about this Michigan State team? Like, how can they play that bad on offense, according to Costello, and still beat very quality opponents?
All right. I think a lot of that needs to be attributed to Denzel Valentine and his play. You know, even when they're struggling, he can keep going. I mean, he only shot six or 13 overall shooting yesterday. But he had 9 assists. He makes everybody around him better, even when people are struggling. And I think he needs a lot of the credit for that needs to be attributed to him and how he can spark players, even when they're not playing that well, make them play better. Marvin Clark had a rough game. Gavin Schilling missed, like, I think 4 bunnies. But, you know, Denzel Valentine at least made some really nice passes to get some of these guys sprung open down low. He needs to be attributed for a lot of that, for being able to beat quality opponents when you're not shooting well or playing well offensively. And Matt Costello was right. They were terrible offensively. I wouldn't say they were absolutely awful, but they were not good. They shot 25 of 60 from the floor, 41% yesterday. And it just wasn't a good game offensively, but this team has been locking down defensively. And if you can do that, especially when you're playing teams with good guards in the tournament, you can go really far even without a great offense. I mean, obviously you want a good offensive output, but at the same time, if you play great defense, they can beat quality opponents like we saw in the Big Ten tournament.
Right. You shut down Mello Trimble. I know you kind of mentioned that Matt Costello didn't have his best games, or his best game, rather, against Purdue. But defensively, he still played well.
I agree. He had 4 blocks. One steal, right?
Yeah, he's the school's all-time leader in block shots now, and I think he played well defensively. You kind of noticed that about him. Last year, he was our best big, despite the fact Schilling started. That was just a rotational thing for Izzo. Costello was playing better on the bench than when he was in the starting role, I believe. And so they rocked out Gavin Schilling for a while. But against Purdue last, Costello was always the guy to get those points in the paint. As far as like a pure big goes, obviously you did have a Brandon Dawson on the team last year. But against Purdue last year, he didn't put up his best offensive numbers again. But defensively, he was able to control A.J. Hammonds. You're not going to shut a guy like that down. It's basically impossible at this level to shut down a guy like A.J. Hammonds. But Matt Costello, he's done as well as anybody. And like I said, it wasn't his best offensive game, but collectively, I think he played well enough. Part of the reason why this Michigan State team does win those games, you mentioned it. If you play defense like that, you can beat anybody, even on a cold shooting night. And that's what Michigan State did. They shut down Mello Trimble. They contained A.J. Hammonds. They contained Caleb Swanigan. They contained Isaac Haas. they have the ability to do that. They're the best defensive team in the country if you're looking at defensive field goal percentage. And I think you're absolutely right. That right there is what separates an offensive team like Michigan State from other high-quality offensive teams, the fact that they know how to play defense. They don't know how to do it without their hands all the time, but they know how to play defense.
Right. And it also needs to be mentioned, I think, that Michigan State out-rebounded Purdue, who I believe last I saw had the best rebound margin in the country. Out-rebounded them by 10, held them down pretty well on the offensive glass. They only had 7 offensive rebounds. That's really impressive when you've got those 3 guys, Hammond, Swanigan, and Haas. Haas only played 8 minutes, which seems kind of surprising to me. But, yeah,
right.
If you can out-rebound Purdue, that's really, really – you've got a really good chance to win, because if they rebound well, they usually win their games.
Well, to go along with that, a defense field goal percentage, Michigan State also leads in rebound percentage. And I'm not going to say just out-rebounding Purdue, but the fact that they out-rebounded them by 10.
Yeah.
It's the Tomizzo staples that are carrying this team. Everyone wants to make a big deal. Hey, this is his best offensive team. But it is what Tomizzo has preached from the second he's gotten here as an assistant coach under Judd Heathcote. It's those principles that have carried the Spartans to where they are right now and to what a lot of people thought should have been a number one seed. Now, you and me have talked about this in the past. Like I said, we're going to talk a little bit more about the whole picture of the tournament tomorrow, but let's talk a little bit about Michigan State and their road. You and me, we've talked about this before in the past. I think we were on the same page. Things that might have changed with you, I'm not exactly sure. We both would have preferred Michigan State be a 2 seed in the Midwest to a 1 seed out where Oregon is, which is where they would have been.
Yeah. I agree with you now. I mean, obviously, I said before it depended on the draw, and the draw for Michigan State is, once again, really nice. I think the team that really worries me the most in this bracket is Seton Hall. Their guard play is very good. They've been playing well lately. If they can get past Gonzaga and Utah, like I think they will, I think they're going to give Michigan State a really tough game, but man, Virginia again, possibly in the Elite Eight. It's unbelievable how the committee matched them and Virginia in the same bracket again for the 3rd straight year.
Oh, I know.
But that's, yeah, I actually think it's going to be a Purdue-Michigan State Elite Eight again. I think Purdue's size is going to give Virginia problems. I mean, they lack bigs other than Mike Toby, who isn't that great off the bench. But, yeah, Michigan State got a great draw. I'd take this all day over being out west, even although I think the west is the weakest region out of all of them. But, yeah, this was a perfect draw for Michigan State. I mean, you're in Chicago, too, so assuming you play Virginia in the Elite Eight, Michigan State fans are going to show up in droves.
Yeah, and ultimately, what you mentioned really quick, if it's a Michigan State-Purdue Elite Eight, I'm going to need you to call me periodically, you know, make sure that my heart's still going, because the last couple times these two teams have met, I don't think it's necessarily been the greatest thing in the world for me. But you're right. If Michigan State goes to the Elite Eight, they are playing in Chicago. Before that, they're playing in Des Moines, which Iowa fans aren't exactly going to show up there. I'm not exactly sure where Iowa's playing. I know Des Moines is a location for another region. I'm just not exactly sure which one it is. But in Oregon's playing in Seattle, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Let me check.
I don't have the bracket up in front of me. I had the other stats. Didn't have the bracket up.
Right.
I think they're playing in Seattle, which really Michigan State. Why would you want to go there? You stay in Big Ten country in Des Moines. You are going to Chicago after that if you make it out of the first weekend, which obviously nothing's guaranteed in this tournament, which the Chicago area, everybody knows, it is a place for Michigan State alumni. You're right. I think they'll show up in droves, and I think it could be very big trying to encourage this team to get to Houston.
Yeah, for the Iowa, like you want me to check, it looks like they're playing in Providence, so they will not be in Des Moines.
Okay, and do you have Oregon's up?
Yeah, they play in Spokane, I think. Oh, Brooklyn.
Yeah, okay, Spokane, Seattle, whatever. They're playing in Washington. It's still a long way from East Lansing. It's still a long way from Chicago, which is, for all intents and purposes, given the alumni base that Michigan State has there, is West Lansing.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have people show. This was a perfect draw for Michigan State. I think that, like I said, Seton Hall brings the biggest problems until you get to the Elite Eight with their guard play.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a really good draw. I think Dayton's fallen off as of late, so I have Dayton winning against Syracuse. Like I said, Syracuse should not have been in the tournament in the first place. It's an absolute disgrace.
Oh, I'm there with you.
But Dayton,
At the same time, these ACC schools are getting a lot of love from the selection committee. Like I said, if Oregon's the fourth number one seed, because Kansas is number one overall. And so what they do is they do try to match that up. They try to do a combination of, okay, look, is this the fourth number one seed or the third number one seed? But they also try to do it based on location. You give Oregon a little bit of an edge headed out west. Plus, I feel like they would have had Virginia as a one seed regardless if it was Michigan State or Oregon in the West region. And so the fact that they had Virginia ahead of Michigan State is going to be on a long plane ride. But, again, I think this is the best thing for them. We talked about it. I would rather be a two in the Midwest than a one anywhere else. And ultimately, that's what it came down to. And I think that's partially why the committee made them a two seed, is to kind of give them that one seed advantage without actually being a one seed.
I totally agree with you. I mean, they were the number five overall seed. So, I mean, they got a good draw. And a point about Virginia that you should think about when you're picking your bracket. Virginia is 11-7 away from home this year. So they have struggled away from UVA. That's a team that, I don't see them losing in the second round, but if they face Purdue or Iowa State like they should, I think that's going to be a big issue for them, playing away from home against a quality opponent.
All right, Ryan, we got less than a minute. Really, really quick, I need your final four.
As of now, obviously subject to change, I've got Kansas, Oklahoma, North Carolina, Michigan State, Kansas, final, and I've got Michigan State winning the game. I think it was 72-68.
All right, you'll get my predictions later as the week goes on when we get a little bit closer to tip-off. Again, that does it for us today. Be sure to check out the podcast tomorrow. Jeremy Files, like I said, he played in the NCAA tournament before. He knows what it's all about. He joins us to talk about the entire picture and what changes in preparation during the course of this month. We'll also have a preview show coming up this week as well to take a look at Middle Tennessee State. So be sure to look for that. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. You've been listening to the Ice Report.